Well, just as a little preface and introduction, Lavendar has been working closely with the Pleiadians for well over 25 years, many, many different levels and areas of endeavor. And one of the highest levels of endeavor is the Teton meetings, to which she has been privy and attended many times. So with that, our topic for this evening, I'd like to introduce to you Lavendar.
Thank you so much. Welcome everyone that comes on this call. I feel like that the people that come on this call really have a need to hear this information or they would not be here. I want to talk about the meetings that happen twice a year, January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7. They've been going on for, I think, probably over 200 years. These meetings have been taking place, probably longer. I'll probably need to check for sure to see when they first started. And I would like to give a list of the beings that come inside the mountain to be in attendance. And I'm going to refer to my report that I wrote up in 1986, because it's quite lengthy. I will not be reading the entire thing, but there will be excerpts that I will read from. I was invited to go inside the mountain, literally in my physical body, to be a journalist, to write up the minutes and to record for 3 days what happened inside the mountain. And I have not been back to do that in a physical form. However, I have been taken out of my body in etheric form, and I have been attending, you know, for over 25 years. So I'd like to discuss a little bit about the procedure of how that works. There's something called a time portal system and a dimensional lock system. The two work together in order to take a soul. When someone comes to retrieve you out of your physical body, there is an invisible thread that keeps you intact. Of course, you do not die. And remove your consciousness so that you can go and receive information with other beings of light like yourself. And at any given time, there will be 144,000 beings that will be in attendance at these meetings. It won't always be the same 144,000. They'll be taking place. So these are star seeds and walk-ins and light workers.
Excuse me, Lavendar, if I could just pause you for a moment. For the folks that just came on after we had started, would you please hit star 6 on your phone? That will mute you so that we won't have so much background interference, because we do record these calls. Thank you.
Okay.
Continue.
So, anyway, a lot of people that I know, some people that I know that are on this call attend these meetings, and have for years. Anyway, the group that really, the main group that meets constantly, all the time, they come from the Great White Brotherhood. There's Guardians of the Diva Kingdoms. There's Starship Commanders of Intergalactic Federations. There are Ascended Masters of the Seven Sacred Cities. There's the Crystal Brotherhood of the Antares at Taurus Midway Station. And there's always 6 members of the Crystal Roundtable of the Starship Bethlehem, Ascended Masters of all 7 Rays of Initiation, and Council members from Northern Shambhala. Now, those are the main attendees. There's
Can I ask a question here?
Sure.
Would you go into a little bit more detail about who are the beings at the Midway Station and what are the 7 sacred cities?
Oh, okay. Well, the Crystal Brotherhood of the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, think of it, you know, we have this Midway Station that we go to now that floats in the air, and we send astronauts up all the time. There is a huge midway station between Antares Arcturus, and it's a huge crystal city that floats in the, you know, in the atmosphere, in the galaxy. And this is the place where they keep all the crystal records of all the souls that have interlocking world spaces, space assignments that have to do with not only Earth, but other planets and other civilizations. And so a lot of things are decided for us here at the midway station.
Midway between where?
Antares Arcturus.
Between Antares Arcturus and Earth?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right. The seven sacred cities. Let me just pull up my notes here. Okay. The first one was established in the Gobi Desert. There's one in Lake Titicaca, Shambhala in Tibet, Palenque in Yucatan, Lourdes of France, Glastonbury in England, and the new sacred city that they brought in 1986 was Sierra Blanca in the Apache Mescalera Indian Reservation in New Mexico. And ascended masters of several etheric realms, and they coordinated light workers and further assisted in grid balancing procedures. And these representatives from these seven sacred cities, they venture to the Tetons to infuse their information with the karmic board that helps in the freedom release of energies in the United States of America. Their plans of action have always been to help blend with the violent sacred flame of high transmutation. And the giant records from these seven sacred cities were brought to the Tetons and deposited in the emerald crystal for safekeeping. And these records will be used in future meetings and will be given to those that will be responsible for maintaining light and balance in the land of freedom. These records were moved at this time because of the disruption that may take place in some geographical areas. This happened in 1986. This is not to be confused with Secret Places of the Lion. That is another fail-safe operation that's conducted by the Pleiadian beings from the star cluster known as the Seven Sisters. So that's the notes that I have about the sacred cities. Any more questions about?
You had mentioned a few more people, attendees, to me earlier.
Okay, the Great White Brotherhood. Okay, the Great White Brotherhood is 77 different brotherhood organizations, okay? 77. And they're the bloodlines that have been genetically engineered and kept going with their information from, you know, lifetime to lifetime, through bloodlines. They come from all over the planet. And they're mostly, in looks, they're mostly blonde and blue-eyed, okay? Mostly. Guardians of the Divic Kingdoms. It's kind of hard to, they're not in flesh and blood like us. They belong to another realm. They belong to the Aetherians. The Aetherians are just, they're made up of different energetics because they're the ones that really keep the peace between the humans and the Diva Kingdoms. I may go into that at another time of talking about them. The Starship Commanders, there are several. Let's see, I know of at least maybe 200 to 300 different Starship Commanders at any given time come to these meetings. And now that there's more and more ships that are coming into this area, there's, you know, possibly more. Let's see, always, oh, the Crystal Roundtable, there's always 12 members of the roundtable on the Starship Bethlehem. But 6 members always come to the meetings, and 6 members always stay aboard the ship. And then we have the ascended masters of all 7 rays of initiation. And that those are beings that help with the 144,000 to help in their initiation process of evolutionary change. It has to do with bloodlines, it has to do with commitments, and soul records. And a lot of soul records, every time there's a meeting, there's always a transmutation of records, things that just no longer serve anyone, anywhere. They always come and talk about the Earth crystal grid system. And new balancing procedures are explained, and new priests are always asked for new instructions concerning the grid system. And those from other incarnations that had previously worked on the grid during other major upheavals were asked once again to assist from their soul records a balance. And sacred flame instructions were given to assist in holding the balancing beams of energy. Earthquake duty was assigned, and some were asked to relocate their physical beings to these areas of great concern. Others were pulled off that duty and are now able to move from those troubled fault lines. Special assignments were directed to some that hold the transmutation ray through their physical bodies. These beings will be called upon to help in the downfall and the rise of world governments. They'll be placed in strategic places around the earth so that greater earth records can be transmuted and greater balance can finally come to those geographical areas. In the structure of the earth is quartz crystal, and it forms a grid. And around this grid, it resonates with cosmic planetary cycles. And when this crystal grid receives different messages, such as atomic signals caused by the splitting of the atom, then the earth will resonate to an extreme destruct pattern. And ancients in times past have all this crystal grid and have taken great care of this balancing procedure. Even in times such as these that the earth is about to face, there are still the ancient ones walking the earth and planning to help in case of the possibility of man stepping over the line, so to speak. We're speaking today to you directly from the ship so that you'll know and understand the seriousness of what's about to happen. This was written in 1986. I want to go to the 33 gem PowerPoints because the 33 gem PowerPoints are probably, I think, the most intricate balancing procedure that I have been involved in on the planet. And all the crystals that were given to us in Cairo, Egypt, a lot of those crystals are still, of course, I still have some, but most of them went to those 33 gem PowerPoints around the planet. And what was interesting is that people, just in their sleep, would get the information to call or check it out, the crystal book that I had written, or someone had told them about the, you know, the crystals. Somehow all these crystals wound up at all 33 gem PowerPoints. And I have these letters from all these beings from all over the planet saying where the crystals are buried. And this, at some point in time, is going to be a real interesting story to write up and to tell. It's about the history of how the Giza crystals wound up in 33 gem PowerPoint. And Jerry, I know that you're on the phone and you were there for the initiation of these crystals in Cairo with me in 1983. I really honor you for that. So I just wanted to acknowledge that you're still on the phone listening to this now. I want to read one paragraph describing the 33 gem PowerPoints. They're called Temples of Light. Placed in harmonic sequence on the crystal grid system are 33 temples of light, sometimes referred to as gem PowerPoints. They're placed around the globe in harmonic action to the north and south pole of the magnetic polarity, plus the directional force of the Great Pyramid of Giza as the receiver of planetary and celestial codings from the hierarchy that helps to govern this planet. After the destruction of Lemuria and Atlantis, a group of ascended masters put in motion a complete system of balance procedures should the misuse of power coming from man happen, or even start to happen. Most of these 33 gem PowerPoints have been dormant in the actual sense. But as now of May 4th, 1986, all 33 gem PowerPoints have been activated. The activation did not happen all at once, but gradually in proper sequence, matching the corresponding frequency beams from all celestial places. 3 days after July 1, 1986, all without exception are now totally activated in the etheric and material realms of their existence. These 33 gem PowerPoints are sending harmonic signals into space and are like homing devices which attract in like kind the 33 species of galactic intent. Each species is responsible for one gem PowerPoint. A starship will remain in the etheric space over each point and will monitor the exact harmonics of the grid, and this information will be relayed to the Star of Bethlehem, which correlates all of the balancing procedures for the grid system of planet Earth. Those blood-coded star seeds will be further activated into their mission when traveling to these gem PowerPoints. Walk-ins will be able to recharge their physical bodies into electromagnetic energies and thus help the upspiral of the body. At each one of these 33 gem PowerPoints are great stones placed in patterns of perfect harmonic balance. These stones resonate to the species in charge, and each spacecraft hovering over the PowerPoint can attach a ray of light and help to hold the area completely intact. Just suppose that the Earth reverberated in such a way as to have all 33 points put in motion with the assistance of spaceships. Yes, this has happened more than once on your planet. This is the fail-safe system devised by the Great White Brotherhood and the Intergalactic Federations to assist in the balancing procedures when the Earth goes through some remarkable phase changes in the next few years. Within a 200-mile radius of these 33 gem PowerPoints, the etheric physical temples of the Divic Kingdom are now activated to participate with the celestial messengers from the sky. Those of starseed walk-ins and lightworkers living or visiting these areas will also be contacted by these Divic Kingdoms, similar to the times of Lemuria before the fall of man. Cosmic rays from other planetary bodies will help keep these 33 gem PowerPoints activated along with the spacecraft hovering in the etheric spaces. Double-terminated power crystals have now been planted in all these 33 gem PowerPoints, and balancing procedures have already begun. Those beings who have gone through the refinement of body, mind, and spirit, and who are starting to resonate to fourth-dimensional energies will be able to contact the Divic worlds just as the ancients once did. The Divic Kingdoms will manifest with more regularity those with a sympatico with the Earth healing of vibrations. Ariel, is there anything you want to say before I go to the next subject?
Yes, two things. Number one, anyone who has just joined us since we started, please do a star 6 to mute your phone before we continue. One thing, when you were telling about the beings and races that are attending the meetings in the Tetons twice a year, you had, perhaps I didn't hear, but did you not say Saint Germain was
the, oh yes, I'm sorry,
the president, so
hello, host,
yes, the host, and
host.
And the goddess of liberty,
the goddess of liberty, goddess of liberty is a she's always been an enigma to me because she's a typical walk-in. I never know who's going to be in her, okay? She stands and comes and represents the feminine ray. She's Pleiadian in origin, and she wears the faces of many goddesses through history. That's all I can say, really, to describe her. Saint Germain, of course, he's immortal and has been. And he's the one that, of course, stood in the back room when they were signing the Declaration of Independence. He, you know, slammed the door and locked it, and they didn't leave until they signed it. And then when they turned around to thank him, he was gone, and the door was still locked. So Saint Germain has just a way of coming and going and manifesting, but he's always there. He's like the he opens the show. The master of ceremonies, he always starts with, a nice story about something and brings everybody together. And it's quite an illuminating experience to be in his presence. So I'm sorry that I forgot to mention him.
Well, you had told me earlier, so
yeah.
That probably stayed in your mind.
Right.
And an interesting thing that maybe a lot of people aren't aware of is the lifespan or lack thereof, of these beings. They don't really have a lifespan. As you said, oh. Saint Germain is immortal, but many, many of these people and beings that attend the Teton meetings are thousands of years old.
That's right. Exactly right.
And they do have physical bodies.
So yes, they do.
Kind of puts
and all the technology to keep them that way.
Right. I think kind of puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Okay, so can we come up now until the meeting that just ended last week?
Sure. Sure. Well, there were lots of different topics, and you know, it took me probably, and maybe I'll put little excerpts on each of these meetings every week. There's just so much to cover, but the main two things that are always covered, the ones that are concerning, you know, everyone the most, is the technologies on this planet and how that they have gotten out of hand and how that they have gone so fast, grown so fast on the planet that the consciousness of the people can't keep up. Therefore, the misuse of power of technology is getting to a critical degree. In fact, some of the technologies, when they go off, are like so many computers and so many cell phones and so many, and you have no idea what happens in the ethers, and that jumps down on the people. So what's happened now is some of the intricate coatings that's in the blood, some of them are going off ahead of schedule. It's like there's things that you're coded to do when you come. And all of a sudden, instead of being 10 years from now, they're going to happen next week.
Maybe.
There's a whole lot of mistiming that's happened because of the technologies on the planet. And one of the things that really alarms me now, since I know what I know about the technologies, is the scanners at the airports. They're doing the biggest damage of all because there's something in them that's destroying the DNA structure of the person. So we need to find ways to counteract that, and I think I may have the solution to that, but I'll probably not talk about it for another week or two. I got to research it some more. But anyway, the different technologies, there's the things that have come out with medicines and the poisoning of the planet and the people. You know, we used to have GMO food, now we've got GMO people. This is breaking down the crystalline structure of a lot of starseed missions. So what they did was they designed something called reset buttons, and they sent back a reset button with everyone that came to attend the meeting. So when you came back and you woke up and you were reset, you might have gotten ill, you might have had to stay in bed, you might have been dizzy, you may have gotten angry, there might have been a dozen different emotions come up, because when they set the reset button, it puts you totally in alignment with your soul and why you came here. And you're not being misdirected by technologies going off and putting you on the wrong time track. So I guess that's the best way I can just say that.
That makes so much sense to me as I'm relating it, because I didn't know 2 weeks ago what I know now about those scanners. And when I flew for Christmas, I was singled out. And I don't really look like a terrorist, but I was singled out to go into the, there's a circular tube, and the thing spins, the little door things spin around, and they made me go in there, and they scanned me twice. And when I came back, during the first week of January, during the Teton meetings, I was in bed for 4 days. I was terribly felt sick. My stomach, and I'm just hoping that they reset me, because I didn't know. I suppose I could have refused, but what can you do? What you can do...
We'll have to investigate alternatives for that. Yeah.
There's
that's very big. This one's very big.
There has to be anti-technology.
Yeah, I think I've got my hands on it, but like I said, I'll know for sure in a couple of weeks, okay? I think I may have the answer to that.
Well, that will be great.
Yeah.
And
the other thing that was discussed is atomic power. There are so many missing atomic bombs floating around. I won't go into the details of, well, I know this, but it's a great concern that that somebody's been asleep at several switches that have been guarding these atomic weapons. And they're going out the back doors, they're being bought, they're being, you know, siphoned off, and probably going into the hands of some very bad characters. So some triple, double team beings are right now, nonstop, on watch, watching where they are, and making sure that that they don't get, you know, too far over the line. Because that's the one place they can interfere, is when total annihilation of this planet happens with atomic power. The beings can step in, and they can. In fact, they've neutralized several atomic disasters already. That was. So those are
where the prime directive does not apply.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the prime directive, though, really is never interfere with anybody on their way home to their source. However, when it has to do with a planet, an entire planet, that's when they get to intercede. So, those were the two hot topics. Also, there was a lot of talk about walk-ins. And the walk-ins that had come from the Pleiades on this last Pleiadian lineup, and how many were adjusting in their bodies, and the meetings were really directed to many of them, because here they were down here in a quarantine area, and they won't get to go home again until a ship comes and takes them home, because, you know, you can't get out of here. It's easy to get here. It's real hard getting out of here. So,
you can check in, but you
can't check out. That's it, you know. And for those that have raised your hand to come here, wish you'd known that before, right? And I hear you, John. So, I think, where was I? I just lost my train of thought.
The stewards on the bomb situation.
Right. Oh, the Pleiades, the walk-in. So, you know, millions and millions of Pleiadians came, and they're all over the planet. So they had to recycle, and there was a whole group of Pleiadians that would come to these meetings here in the United States, and some in South America and Canada, and, you know, the ones that are going to be intricate players in the new evolutionary jumps that are going to take place in the next few years. And the ones that have agreed to come and bear children, and to bring the crystal indigo children through, and the ones that are bringing the new laws, the ones that will probably lead a revolution. they're the ones that say, you know, we're not taking it anymore. I'm taking over this body, and from what I can gather from the person that was here before me, you know, we've got to change a few things. So that was in, you know, a lot of beings were in concert about how to come together as a group to hold these 33 gem power points and to be part of this gigantic experiment in these balancing procedures. So, and for those of you that want to know these 33 GM PowerPoints, I am not at liberty to publish them. And I'll tell you why. Back in the early 90s, there was a young gentleman that was hired by National Geographic. and they paid him, he won a grant, and his assignment was to go to some ancient sites and to some portals and to take pictures and to record and write, and they paid him well. And I came back, and he delivered the information, and the cabal, the dark forces of our government, went to these places and destroyed them, cut down trees, moved rocks, poisoned water. So after that, I decided that the name of the 33 gem PowerPoint should stay in the bank vault. Because if you're in tune, and if you go to the GCOM meetings, you know where they are. And if you're not invited, then you don't need to know. So that's what I have to say about that. That broke my heart. And later, this man committed suicide. He killed himself. He could not handle what had happened to these precious places that he had found and taken pictures of. And a lot of them were on Native American soil. Indigenous tribes in South America, Australia, India, all kinds of places. And luckily, though, none of the 33 gem PowerPoints were touched. None of them were destroyed. Because his guardians didn't make sure of it. But it just made me real aware. It just made me more discerning about who finds out where the 33 gem PowerPoints are. Sorry, I do have anything to say about that.
Well, like you said, if you are in alignment and with commitment to the evolution of the planet in a proper way, you already, in frequency, you're already in resonance with those points, and knowing where they are doesn't matter as much as protecting them.
Yeah, right. Another thing that was discussed was in the walk-in category about the different walk-ins that are coming to replace some of our world leaders. And I think that I've told many of you several times that I've already seen 3 walk-ins in Obama. So I have no idea who they're going to bring next. And there's going to be some assassinations happen in other countries. World leaders are going to go down. New ones are going to be placed. We're going to continue to have earthquakes like the ones that we just had in Haiti. HAARP, of course, is being very involved in weather control and starting these earthquakes. It's part of their little program and their agenda. That was also discussed, is how it is allowed to happen and why is it allowed to happen. But this is part of the discussion of technology has gone beyond the consciousness of the people. Mostly because the people aren't told the truth about the technology. But now with the internet, it's real hard to stop the truth. It's starting to really get out there more and more. And of course, Jesse Ventura's show, Conspiracy Theory, each one of his shows touches on a subject that, over the top every time. Last week was mind control. And I actually saw a person on the interview that I had sat with for 12 hours in a Chinese restaurant with my friend Alice, who, when they interviewed him last week, turned to the camera and said, yeah, I'm in charge of assigning the assassins their targets. And I almost fell out of my chair. And the reason I sat with him is because actually he wanted to meet Shirley MacLaine, and I got him tickets to go backstage, but she had a headache that night and wasn't able to meet with him, and now I'm so glad she didn't. I knew he was a Delta Force, but I had no idea he was in charge of the assassination triggers. And Alice, if you're still on the phone, I guess you just fell off your chair. So, anyway. Let's see, what else was discussed? Of course, the 14-generation experiments were really, that was about a 24-hour discussion, because they ran through 14 generations of bloodlines and where they were and how they were doing and how many had been caught in the Catholic Church and through that religious rhetoric and the different religions that had popped up through those 14, generation bloodlines. They talked about the 7th generation American Native American Indian experiments and how they were going. Like I said, maybe each time that we have a meeting on Wednesday, I'll just reveal a little bit more about what happened in the meetings. There was just a lot of discussion. So, Ariel, if you want to open up the floor for discussion, it's available.
Okay. If anyone would like to ask a question on these topics or have a question on a topic that may be related, you can...
Hi, Ariel. Hi, Dar.
Hello.
This is Brandon. Brandon Bass.
Hello, Brandon.
Brandon, you've been missing it. And I sent you an email, and it keeps bouncing back.
I got to give you my new email. That was with AT&T. We don't have the service anymore, so
okay,
they blocked
well,
email.
Well, you send me a new email then.
Okay, I will. I missed the blast too, and I felt bad. But when I got on kind of late, and I heard you saying something about the Native Americans in the 7th generation. I'm interested in that because I remember what you told me how it applies, to me. But is there anywhere where I can go to get some more information on that? Because it resonates really well with me.
If you're invited to the meetings, then you will know, okay?
That's the part I missed, too. Are you guys going to post this up on the website?
No. This is, why listen to
this call?
You can listen to this call, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You can hear the recording. You'll hear what you missed. This is I've been talking about the meetings that happen inside the Tetons every year.
Oh. I got a good chunk of it, though. It sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, these recordings will be posted on StarseedHotline.com in the next few days. And so if you want to go back and listen again or invite someone or tell someone to go listen to it, that's what it's there for.
I have something interesting. I don't mean to take up too much time, but I have a baby girl that's on the way. She's going to be born on her due date is for either, they said it could be a week off, May 12th or May 17th. And that's playing a lineup. And we both had a dream of a ball of light flying into a womb even before we found out that we were having a little girl. Does that dream necessarily mean that it could be something like a walk-in?
No, a walk-in, that's a whole different thing. No, this is probably a crystal indigo child is coming.
I had that dream. Yeah. We were talking about that already. we're excited because this thing's like synchronicity, how all these things are happening, and we are conscious of it, so
yeah.
It makes it more interesting.
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. Thank you so much. I've been so busy the past 2 weeks. I've missed you guys, though.
Just make sure that when she's born, you get the exact minute.
I will. I am. I'm coming to you guys, too, soon as the day after. Things are going to be hectic, but I'm going to get to you guys as soon as possible because I'll be so interested in that.
Good.
And her name is going to be Ananda.
Mm.
So, I like that name. It means bliss in Sanskrit.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry, everybody.
That's okay. Congratulations. Anyone else, if you put *6 to mute or unmute?
I have a question.
This is who?
This is Mary from Ashland.
Hello, Mary.
Hi there. Lavender?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi.
I couldn't quite hear you when this last part of your talk, you said something about Obama and that you had told some of us about him and you didn't know who they would send next. But I didn't hear exactly what you said about Mr. Obama.
I said that I had witnessed already 3 walk-ins.
With him?
With him.
Right, okay.
And that I didn't know who they were going to bring next.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
I was listening when you were saying about the technologies being misused.
Uh-huh.
And that they've gone beyond the consciousness of the people. And I missed the part about why this is being allowed to happen. Are the stewards going to step in and correct this, or are they going to allow this to get to a point to where they're going to step in only if it becomes on the level of the atomic?
They're going to step, well, that was the main discussion, was how far do we let it go?
Right.
And so we're dealing with the law of 55. 55 critical mass.
Okay.
They'll probably wait till it's 54 and a half.
Yeah, 54 and 3/4.
Yeah.
And then I'll get gonged. And
yeah. Right.
Okay. Thank you, because I didn't quite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Lavender, correct me if I'm wrong, but if this misuse of technology and the technological growth exceeding spiritual growth is a repeating karmic pattern for civilizations on the earth, to come and fix it for us would deny us the lesson. So they have to give us as much chance to learn before it gets to that 55 critical point when they do have to step in. But if they step in, won't we, you know, eons from now, be doing this over again?
That's one scenario. Okay, put that aside and think of time travelers coming from the future back here to change things. That equation is in motion.
Wow.
Okay.
Isn't there also some discussion about frequency manipulation as well, as lessons not being able to be learned if you're imprisoned in a frequency you have no technology of breaking out of?
Right. And let's talk about one of the biggest mass frequency control devices on the planet. And guess what it is? Crop circles.
Really?
Now let me explain that. These crop circles are designed by really, really advanced beings, okay? And they're subliminal programming devices being used to manipulate, direct, or guide the people. They imitate unknown structures of your subconscious mind. And they cause a biological, chemical change in your electrical system when you see them. And this is not a bad thing. However, both teams have been using it. That was in discussion for a little while about how the biological system and the electrical system of the subconscious, the superconscious, how it gets activated by looking at symbols. And the crop circles, of course, are some of the biggest symbols that are happening on the planet from now. And we're getting it through television. We're getting it through music. That was another subject. Music. How the disharmonics of music are actually tearing up the systems of our young people on the planet. What happened to simple drumming? What happened to simple music? Things that didn't tear up your crystalline structure.
For myself, it really, I don't know, boils my blood, so to speak, when I see teenagers and young children. They get off the school bus. The first thing they do is whip out the cell phone and then, you know, listening to this discordant music. And I have to laugh a little bit because I'm sounding like my parents, but this is not music, you know. It is discordant and it disrupts the electrical system. So, and these children are holding our future, and they're being disrupted not only by the music, but by the electromagnetic radiation from wireless technology. What are they doing something or planning to do something about that?
Yes. These new beings that just came from the Pleiades, these walk-ins, these millions of walk-ins, you're going to see a lot of them start working at advertising agencies, television studios. A lot of them are going to rise up and be movie stars. There's going to be some changes made, okay?
So they're going to be reinstating the 432 harmonic, the natural harmonic?
423.
The music of the spheres, harmonics, they're going to be reintroducing that?
Right, 423.
Well, that's good news.
Yes.
Hi there. Can you explain a little bit about that? I was trying to research it, Lavendar. This is Linda. We spoke the other day, and you mentioned the 423, and I can't find anything on it.
Alicia, do you have that 423 information?
I do, and Brian T. Collins also has it on his MySpace account. He's one of the modern-day musicians who actually incorporates the 423 harmonic in all of his music.
Tell her how to find the
I believe it's Omega 32, or you can Google Brian T. Collins.
Okay.
His MySpace page, it'll take you to, I believe it's the Omega 32 project. Where he has everything on there. He has harp, he's got the frequency disruptions, he has videos up there talking about these various things. He has an entire page dedicated to the importance of that particular harmonic, why it's important, the natural rhythms, frequencies, and resonances of the human body and the earth along with the heavens and how everything works in a certain harmonic frequency. He is an amazing musician.
Thank you.
And he's got all kinds of information.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I have another question, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following another group that has been talking about stuff going on in Afghanistan and the Middle East, and they're saying it's not so much about oil or any of the stuff that the cover stories tell us. It's about Stargate. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true.
Yes.
Great. Okay, good. And the Gulf of Aden right now, is that being activated? I've heard that there is a stargate that is opening in the Gulf of Aden, and that in fact there are a lot of warships around the world sitting there.
There's a lot of realities happening, and just remember this. Our government knows about and uses technology 150 years ahead of what they're telling us.
Right.
150 years ahead of what they're telling us.
Right.
Okay?
What can we do? I mean, I live in Williamsburg, Virginia, where this whole notion of this country started, and there are chemtrails crosshatching the skies, and people are walking around on Duke of Gloucester Street, going from Talbot to Williams-Sonoma, and nobody's looking up. Nobody, what do you do? I just want to shake people. What can we do?
Well, to convince them of chemtrails is a hard one. There's lots of websites and lots of information about it, and I know that Dennis Kucinich years ago in 1999 brought a bill up trying to, you know, bring up the chemtrail situation, and of course the NSA got a hold of him and set him down real quick.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that. So, they're allowing that. Our government is allowing chemtrails. And that's, I don't see, unless there's a revolution and there's an overthrow of the government, will that ever stop? And maybe that's what it's going to take, who knows?
Right. But it's the people behind the government. I mean, it's not, you know, Democrat or Republican. It's the power holders behind that. What do you do?
Well, that's the whole point. It's like, yes, it's there's so many different layers and so many different players. Layers and players, yeah.
What did they say at the meetings about that? Is that...
Well, and guess what? Some of the people that we really don't like a whole lot were at the meetings.
Hmm.
Hello?
Why is that?
Why do you think Cheney bought his ranch right next to the mountain?
So what does that mean? Does that mean the group is tainted? Does that mean that...
They're allowed to play. Okay, they're allowed to play. It's about power on the planet.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I wish I'd had a few eggs in my pocket. Then you wouldn't be asked back at the end, you see.
Well, you have to keep in mind, though, that the Pleiadians and Andromedans are about 4,000 years ahead of us. And they will not see the planet destroyed. And you kind of just have to know that. And if there's nothing that you can do personally, you at least have to know that there is something that they can do. And they will do it. And what you need to do is to stay in balance so that you'll be available if they need you.
Yes, stay in balance. And also just try to maintain your own thought process and keep your individualism. Try not to go so much collective.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really believe in Ayn Rand's philosophy of being an individual. And I see that the Ayn Rand movement is up and running again, and that they're making the movie Atlas Shrugged, and it should be coming out next year. And Angelina Jolie, of course, is playing Dagny Taggart, which just kind of stunned me.
I have another question, if I
okay.
can, quickly. I don't know if my phone's acting right with mute buttons or not, so I don't know if you guys can hear me. But
yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Frequencies, energies, being in the same space, do those still rules still apply as opposite energies cannot occupy the same space?
Absolutely.
So there, okay, because I couldn't remember if that's being kept in place. And what about the escalation of the gender wars?
That was another topic that, let's say there was a lot of stunned silence about some things that were brought forth about the atrocities of how women were being treated on the planet. And what's being done about it in certain areas, and how that, you know, the wars and the rumors of wars, and how it's going to take women to stop the wars. You know, and if they did in olden times, they might have to do it again.
Okay, thanks.
Can you talk again about the reset button?
Okay, reset buttons. Well,
are they doing that? Is that just during the meetings that was going to start happening, or prior to, or?
At the meeting, there's this giant emerald crystal in the center of the room. Huge. I would say it's about the size of, let's think what the dimensions of that are. Probably 72 feet by 36 feet, okay? Every being that comes to the meeting goes to the emerald ray when they get there. And when they leave, they go through the emerald ray of the computer. And the reset button was placed with blood coding to match the soul intention, and that's when all the reset buttons happened before you came back to your body. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so.
And how does that spread out to the masses?
It doesn't.
I mean for the attendees of the meeting.
Oh, the attendees, yes. Yeah.
But what about the people who are
attending?
Pardon?
The ones that weren't attending, you mean?
Starseeds that were not attending.
Well, I guess it's going to be up to the rest of us to figure out ways to reset them and to help them. Okay.
Is it something that if a starseed comes in contact with another starseed who's been reset, it gets relayed?
Sometimes that happens. Yes. Or sometimes just knowing about it goes, oh my God, and you just automatically go and reset your soul.
When you're going through this ray, do you start purging?
No,
well,
no.
Not negative
no
or
purging,
images
no.
or anything like that?
No, purging.
Okay.
No. None of that. Not, you don't purge anything. You just, it's simply reset button. It's just that reset.
Okay.
And when you come back in the body, then you may purge.
Well, that, I guess that's kind of what I mean.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about angry and this and that. And
you might get angry. You might go, wake up and you're next to this person in bed going, what am I doing with this fool? I have to leave now. I mean, who knows what all takes place after the reset button. Because, they haven't done the reset button for a very, very long time. So, this is like the first time in like 20 years they've done anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, if a person's been stuck for 20 years someplace but the technology is mostly what they're really saying that it's tripping. It's tripping people. Timelines. It's messing with their timelines.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Like if you came here to have children and then all of a sudden the technology hits and all of a sudden you're not going to have any. Or vice versa. Or you come here to meet a particular group of people or you all agreed before you came that you'd meet at a certain time and place, but then a cell phone tower. You drove by one day and you just blipped and it just erased. It's gone. Now you're just out there wandering around thinking, well, what am I supposed to be doing now? Because
like
you can't remember why you came.
It's
okay.
Like they did to the bees.
Yeah, the bees is a very good example. Yep. And that bee story isn't over. They're really getting very, very close to really nailing the cell phone tower to this.
Right.
Now, who's going to give up your cell phone? Nobody. But there are technologies that can counteract the destructive patterns. There's even things that they can put on the cell phone towers to keep it down. So those are the new things that we'll be hearing about from the Pleiadians that have come as walk-ins. We're going to be seeing the scientists, the inventors, a lot of these things are going to rise up and go, we just have a better way of doing this now. So we're building a better mousetrap. This is going to be a very exciting time. I'm really glad that we had help from this many Pleiadians, this past Pleiadian lineup. I really am. I hope that I get to meet a lot of them in person.
Well, this is part of the reason why we have a website, why we do these calls, why we're starting a radio show, because there are so many levels of truth and levels of fallacy, and starseeds need to have a place where they can gather, exchange ideas, and arrive at solutions and understanding. So between the website, starseedhotline.com and our forum site, which is starseed.ming.com. This is exactly what we are trying to do, is to, you know, pass out information, answer questions, clear things up, whatever we can do to assist the starseed on their way, but we're not looking to start a, you know, a religion or anything like that. We simply want to give you some vitamins and let you grow on your own. So, if we have no other questions, going once, going twice, I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening.
So much. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And please, I mean, we are going to be doing this every week until the radio show is launched.
Okay.
And then we will probably, and at the radio show, you will have the opportunity to call in, and it will be pretty much the same as we're doing now, but it will be available to more people. And that's, again, why we're doing this, to reach out to as many people as we can. So feel free to tell your friends, invite your friends. We can have up to 96 people on these calls. So with that, I would like to thank Lavendar so much for giving her time and enlightenment on these issues of the Teton meetings to all of us. And to all of you.
Okay, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.